listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today for Get Yourself the Job here on LA Talk Radio. I am Jennifer K. Hill, and you are tuning in to myself along with my fabulous and wonderful friend and co-host, Brandon Maslin, as we take a 360-degree look at everything that you've ever wanted to know from A to Z when it comes to landing, finding, keeping your dream job. And of course, today will be no different. We are going to be exploring the topic of storytelling today with an incredible influencer and leader, screenwriter, as well as a person who works in the White House, Justin, who will be joining us here in a moment. However, before we introduce you to him, I do want to take a breath here and thank our sponsors who bring the show to you each and every week. And that is the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States. They offer a variety of services ranging from temporary services to payroll and executive search. And so please do keep them in mind for anybody out there who might be looking for a job. And without further ado, my friend, I turn it over to you, Brandon. Oh, give us one moment.
Oh, there Brandon. We go. I'm on. My mute button. So let's see, we're really lucky to have Justin Sternberg join us. I met Justin right around that time in my life when I pivoted moving from Baltimore to Los Angeles and was certainly a lost puppy. And Justin was kind enough to sort of find me and take me under his creative wing. I have many good memories of just talking to Justin about the industry. When I say industry, I usually mean entertainment. And the journey in life. And Justin's had his own journey. He'll share it with you. I can just tell you that he's a solid, good man who's been a great friend to me. Justin is and continues to be an amazing television writer. He also has a company, Your Story Rules, where he's a principal and chief storyteller. He does work with the U.S. government, helping them tell their vaccine story. He's worked with countless nonprofits. We actually connected through a nonprofit called The Guardians back in the day. And, you know, it's funny. I remember when I met Justin, he was sort of standing off in the corner, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to go be nice to this guy and make him feel welcome in L.A. He might have been there about 6 months, and turns out Justin was sort of well ingrained into the system. So turns out, be nice to people. Never know how it's going to turn your life around. I have incredible memories of just hiking with Justin, doing Runyon Canyon, doing all the things that you do in LA when you first move there and trying to find out who you are. But Justin's not just great at helping people find out who they are. What he's an expert in is helping them craft that story so others can know who they are and what they're going to do for them or impact them in the future. So with no further ado, let's turn over to Justin Sternberg and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor. And Brandon, it's not hiking up Runyon, but it's the closest thing we can do it, especially at the end of this pandemic. So it's great to see you both. And Jennifer, it's very nice to meet you.
Yeah, I still remember you had a great comment. I've used it to this day of, you know, it was such a thing to grab breakfast in Los Angeles. And you said, well, we can put calories in or we can get calories out. And we'll accomplish the same thing and talk. And that's always stuck with me. It's like,
I still do it today. I have a running partner twice a week that I run with at 5:30 in the morning. The theory is we could go and eat and put calories in again, or we could run and hopefully put calories out. So it's very LA.
It's very LA, but I like it. All right. Jennifer, why don't you sort of kick us off? Although I do want to honor Justin's sort of background story as well. But why don't we kick us off? Any questions you might have?
Yeah, well, I think that Justin's background story will be a great way for us to tie in this element of storytelling, because in everything we do in life, whether we're going out on a date, whether we're going on a job interview, or whether we're just talking to somebody at a party, as you just mentioned, Brandon, it's all the story that we tell that either compels people or doesn't compel people. I remember years ago, I was in a program and they said, you know, most people say, tell me about yourself. And then the person says, I'm a recruiter, I'm a screenwriter, I'm an executive coach. And this group that I was in, they said, you know, talk about the problem you solve and the group of people that you solve it for. And so perhaps we could start today's show, Justin, with you telling us, what's the problem you solve? How did you wind up in the White House? And give us a little taste of how you've mixed this incredible life together to help people tell their stories and to be compelling as they do so.
Yeah, I mean, first I want to clarify, I'm not working in the White House, but I work with the White House fellows on creating a story that's powerful enough to help change the vaccine hesitancy in our country. I mean, look, as Brandon said, I'm a Hollywood TV writer by trade. That's what I have been my entire life. During our writer's strike years ago, I kind of got depressed. We weren't allowed to work. We were picketing all day. And a friend of mine called me up and goes, I'm going to do something for you at the end. These people that I'm going to connect you with are going to write you a thank you note, but you are going to write them such a heartfelt thank you note for what they did for you that it will cross in the mail and it'll be most powerful for you as it is for them. And I was like, okay, what are you going to do? He said, I'm putting you in touch with three nonprofit CEOs. You're going to go spend 1 week each at their organization for free doing anything they need you to do, but you are going to tell them that you're going to craft their story for them. They're not going to understand what that means. You're going to sit in your office and you are going to change the narrative of the way this organization works, fundraises, and operates. And I was like, okay, where do I start? And he's like, make a wish, they'll be there Monday morning. And I showed up Monday morning and they were creating a campaign about walking for wishes. And no one had come up with the tagline or the slogan that every wish is within walking distance. And it changed the evolution of this one campaign. It changed the way they marketed it. Engagement went up, donations went up, and it became one of the most successful projects they ever had. And at the end of it, they were like, can you stay? And I was like, no, I've been told I've got another place to go. And I went the next week over to the MS, the Multiple Sclerosis Organization. And they were creating an event at the Rose Bowl. They needed an opening ceremonies. And so I, with an unknown Rachel Platten at the time, famous for Fight Song, she was coming in to do that song, which nobody had ever heard of. I heard that song for the first time, started crying, was like, this will become the greatest opening ceremonies ever for people struggling with a life-altering disease. And we created a very powerful opening ceremonies at the Rose Bowl, 60,000 people. And again, engagement went up. And then I went to Lung Association and they were struggling with how do you get the message out that actually the most people that get lung cancer are not smokers. And so we crafted a campaign that helped bring awareness there. And then the writer's strike ended. And I held on to this idea of what I was doing for them each and every day was changing lives in ways that my shows on TV were entertaining people, but it was not having lasting impact on the life they were currently living. But it paid the bills and I went back to what I was doing. But as Brandon remembers ever so well, I kept talking about it. I kept referencing it. I kept saying, but wait a second, my time, my 3 weeks, it was like this call to action for me, but it laid dormant in my body. Until Corona happened. And when COVID happened, friends started calling me and they started going, I need a story. I've either lost my job and I need now to reframe my pivot and explain to people why I'm powerful and worthwhile being hired. Companies lost funding and they suddenly needed to go to new VCs or engage current VCs and try to get people to reinvest in them during one of the hardest times, you know, of our country had experienced. And I kind of said, as I do with everything, sure, I'll happily help you. But the problem I started to realize is people didn't understand how to craft a story. And so what I started to realize is in Hollywood, we have what's called 15 beats, these moments, these instances that every movie, I don't care what movie, from Bridesmaids to The Godfather, is built on the back of these 15 beats. It's literally a map of how to write a movie. And what I realized was is there's 15 beats because if I only gave you a 4-minute movie, you wouldn't spend that money. But with a 90-minute movie or a 2-hour movie, you're willing to spend money. And so what I was able to do is take these 15 beats and boil them down into 4. And so every story has 4 essential beats. And that's what I'm helping people understand is I once was somebody, something happened to me, I struggled, and I'm better now because of it. And at the heart of it, every movie you've ever watched is those 4 beats at the center of it. And every interview you go on, every time someone says, tell me about yourself, you shouldn't just say I'm a recruiter. What you should say is when I grew up, actually, the last thing I ever wanted to be was a recruiter. I wanted to be a ballerina dancer. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a podcast host, right? But then something happened and that changed the course of my life. And I didn't know what to do. And I was unsure in this new world, but it led me to where I am today. And that is being a recruiter. And I'm perfectly for it because of what happened in my past has positioned me perfectly today to do what I do. And I love it. And it's more than just a job. It's a career.
You remind me, Justin, of when I got my first job as a recruiter in LA. I think I told you on the first job I called. And they asked me, so did you always know you want to be a recruiter? And I said, does anyone? I didn't know that was like a thing that people thought about. But, you know, it's a good point around, but here is the journey and what I'm good at and how that plays in. Actually, before we move forward, just a little bit, if you don't mind, because it is such a unique story of the Hollywood journey. So you did become a screenwriter and you did, you know, young boy makes good. So maybe just talk, give us a 2 minute story on that. Growing up, wanting to be a screenwriter, making it a reality.
Yeah, look, I'll use my four beats, but it's the true story is I wanted to be a baseball player. And that's what I thought I was going to do. I went to a small prep school in Florida. My parents gave up vacations to fancy locations to put me through school and pay for it. My eighth grade year, we played against A-Rod in the state championship for baseball. So, I mean, it was a powerhouse for athletics. And it was supposed to be a powerhouse for academics. And so my senior year in high school, the parents got together to the administration and they said, no more. I love that these kids love athletics so much, but we're paying for academics. They need to take an additional class. And the kids were annoyed and we were frustrated. It's not what we thought we would have to do our senior year in high school. But I looked at the course catalog and I saw playwriting. And I had no desire to be a writer. I knew I was actually a terrible writer, but my thought was as long as I turned in the work, you had to pass me. And as long as I passed, I could go take batting practice. And as long as I could take batting practice, I would go play college and professional ball. But it turned out to be, as fate would have it, it was a Broadway playwright who had graduated my high school 10 years before, was donating 1 year of his time back to our school. And he got up there on like week 8 and he said, I'm going to teach you something that no one else will ever teach you. You as a writer do not write what you know. You as a writer can only write what you feel. And his point was, if you lived through the Civil War, you had a much more emotional feeling that you experienced going through that than those that have read every book about the Civil War. And so he gave us a very simple task. Go home that weekend, find a feeling and write about it. Well, again, small town in the South, academics were okay, but athletics were king. Friday night football, state championship or whatever it was, conference championship, best friend's a star receiver for our football team, out pattern in the end zone, game winning touchdown in his hands, out of his hands, and we lost. And when I say the town went silent, I mean the lights on the street corner stopped blinking, like people had heart attacks. It was the end of the world as this town would know it. And I go back to my best friend's house that night who had dropped the pass and we're playing Nintendo or whatever we did in the 90s. And there's a knock at the door and I stand up and I see his dad. And he said, can I have a minute with my son? And I said, absolutely, sir. Again, from the South, so I'm polite, no problem. And as I turn around, the belt comes off and the door shuts. And I stood outside the door as my best friend got beaten with a belt for dropping a pass in a football game. And then the door opened and the belt got put back on and his father looked me straight in the face and he said, thank you, which still to this day sends shivers down my spine. And Sunday night happened, right? Like I didn't know what to do. And so Sunday night arrives and it's like, write something you feel. Well, all I felt for the last 50 hours or whatever it was for my best friend and I needed to do something. But as a high school kid, what could I do? And so I wrote a play about it and it was called Severe Beating. And while I didn't use names, it was lucky enough that it embarrassed the father. He realized what he was doing. He stopped hitting his son, thank God. But it did something else even for me. Besides understanding the power of a story, it also got me to the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center in Waterford, Connecticut, which is actually on O'Neill's property in Connecticut. And it's where the best plays of the next year go to be workshop for 4 days each before they go to Broadway. And the biggest names in the world come and act there. De Niro, Meryl Streep, Redford. That's the likes of who you're surrounded with. And then it's the playwrights like August Wilson that are there workshopping their plays. So that year I got picked as one of 13 internationally to be chosen to enter the O'Neill as an intern. I got paired with the writers. And that summer I was paired with my mentor, Lee Blessing. Lee had just been nominated for a Tony the year before. And that summer he was doing a new play called Going to St. Ives. So imagine Hitler's or Idi Amin's mom during the genocide. You love your kid, but they're obviously doing some pretty messed up stuff. And we put up the play the first night and the entire audience laughs at Lee's favorite scene. He was pissed. We stayed up all night. He changed 7 words. And the next night, the entire audience cried. And I walked up to Lee at that moment. And I said, I'm giving up baseball. I don't know what you did. I don't know how we did it. But my goal in life is to change people's lives and affect them with 7 words. And that started my career. I gave it up and I pivoted, and I was lucky enough to know Michael J. Fox through a family friend. And I worked for Michael in New York, and that started my career.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, talk about compelling. That's, I can't even fathom what that must have been like for you as a young man, being 17, 18 years old, and to see that happen. And this is something so important. One of my favorite books of all time is One Amazing Thing, where the author does a profound job of getting you to really feel strongly about certain characters. And then as they're all about to die, you kind of go into the story of what's the one amazing thing who makes that makes them who they are. And it's really only through words that we can do this, which actually ties in, Justin, to how I'd like to spend the rest of our time together today. And that's to talk about these four beats that you mentioned. My intuitive sense, and again, I'm not a professional writer aside from little papers or books here or there, is that these four beats, if they're out of harmony or out of balance, like when I think of the job hunting world, when you're talking about the struggle story, you know, imagine if you didn't have the redemption part, if you didn't have, hey, I became this wonderful playwright. The same is true in job hunting. If somebody goes in and they spend the whole time on the struggle about the proverbial beating, unfortunately, and I do hear this, beating with words, beating with emotionally charged situations, and that becomes the crux of the whole interview. So instead of it being about four beats, you kind of get one beat times four, you know, that's just prolonged, and it doesn't do the person who's interviewing any favors. So my question to you is this, Justin, how can we incorporate this? How can we incorporate these four beats that you've so eloquently kind of distilled down into the job hunting world so that we can find harmony and know when are those moments where we can, just like you did in your story you just shared, hit that zenith, hit that moment and take, you know, the listeners, be it in an interview, on a date, through the ups and downs and leave them, like I just said with you, compelled at the end. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. And ironically, this is what I've been doing for the last 6 months. I started giving these presentations and now I've been guest lecturing to some of the top business schools around the country, even internationally. And it's about this exact thing. So you graduate business school, you've got a new chapter in your life, but what do you go do with it? How do you do it? So what most people do wrong when they create a story is they start from the beginning, because that's what eighth grade English taught you. Open with something strong and move forward. But in Hollywood, we start at the end. What is the ending? What do you want people to feel? What do you want them to know? What is the point of the story? What I like to say is a lot of great stories are not actually ones that are actually going to move the needle. Great stories are good for your friends, but it's not one that's going to actually help you. So if you're interviewing for a job, what do you want the interviewer to know? What is the point of the story? Why do you have to tell the story? Because it has to become effective. And that's the point of this. So you as yourself have to define it. And so what I do with a lot of the students that I work with and guest lecture with is they have to define for me what the ending is. What is the dream scenario that they feel what about you? Because yes, everybody knows that in a job description, there are three things you have to hit. This job, they want this, this, and this. Well, that gets put into category, into beat four. That gets put into why you're perfect for the job. But what you don't want them doing is using the four or three keywords like I persevere or I'm a problem solver. The story needs to show that. I need to feel it. I need to understand it. So you don't have to use the generic adjectives that everyone else is doing. So you start at your ending. You write down what your superpower is. What are you better at than everybody else? What do you want to be defined as? How should everyone else see you that you are so amazing at that they have to hire you? And then you go ask 10 coworkers and 10 friends and you say, what is my superpower? Because what I found is the book that we're writing for ourselves is not necessarily the chapters and the pages of the life that other people are reading about us. What we think we're great at is not how others see us. And so we need to understand what everyone else sees as us, because if that's not incongruence, then we have a story problem. So understand how you want to be seen, understand how others see you, and put that into category four and beat four. Now, any great story, if you're the same person at the beginning as you are at the end, that's called standing still. Brandon mentioned a journey. A journey is going from one place to another. So if your end is this, which you've just defined, then your beginning has to be 180 degrees different. So if I opened and said, I've always wanted to be a writer, and at the end I'm a writer, you're like, wah, wah. So what is the exact opposite? And then that becomes your beginning. The last thing I ever wanted to be was to be a writer. I never thought I'd be a writer. I thought I'd be a terrible writer, right? That's all part of my story. It's all perfectly crafted that way because of that. that becomes your beginning. Then something has to happen. What changed you? If you never wanted to go down this path, what changed it? That's what we call your inciting incident. That's B2. Something has to change your perspective. Something has to move you, has to thrust you into this world. And you cannot decide this on yourself. Something or someone has to pull you into this world. If you've decided, it's too easy. You've got to go against your will, because that leads us to B3, which is your struggle. Why was this hard? What did you fail? Because we want to understand that. And B3 has to end with what's called hitting rock bottom. We want to know that this was so hard for you that you fell to the depths of despair, but then you overcame. And that becomes B4. Because we want to know that you were able to persevere through this, that if you could overcome that, if you could solve that problem, if you could rise to that, imagine what you would do if I paid you to do a job.
That's interesting. I think it's, I want to say it's Tesla that asked that question. What's the hardest problem you've ever had to solve? That's actually becoming more and more, especially in Silicon Valley, a question people ask is, tell me a problem you solved and how, which is interesting. The other thing that I really like is I certainly do a lot of that superpower work. I call it the power three, same difference, where I ask, say, talk to three people and find your common threat. One thing you said in there I thought was brilliant was, you say a lot of brilliant things, but in this case, the thing I picked up on was, rather than having to say I'm strategic, I'm creative, I'm a problem solver, telling the story of how you're creative and a problem solver. You know, there is something to be said. It was a trick I used to use as a trial attorney, where if the judge comes up with the answer on their own, you've probably already won the case. If the interviewer feels like they're starting to put the puzzle pieces together, like, hey, you're a problem solver, you're a problem solver. You don't have to even say it. You've won. So I like that you're literally letting the audience, right, or the interviewer. And that's something I learned from you, Justin, years ago when we were talking about screenplay writing, that you can't just give it to them. You know, you got to let the audience figure it out. And I love that you're introducing that into the interview process as well. I'm not going to tell you I'm creative. I'm going to tell you a story about how I was creative and let you figure it out. So I think that's really smart.
Yeah. And I knew this worked emotionally because I've been doing this for 17 years in Hollywood and I've seen it with companies. But then I got paired up and I met Dr. Paul Zak, who's one of the top neuroscientists in the world, who studies specifically the effects stories have on the brain. And we started to run simulations. And through him, I started to realize that if I told you four things about myself right now and just listed them, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, and I'm this, your brain actually processes them very differently than if I list those same four things but simply just put it into the narrative format that I just built for you. Your brain actually releases emotions that make you more willing to listen, make you more willing to activate, and make you more wanting to go through with what I've just explained to you. So if you think about this, when you're in a job interview and you want someone to understand, empathize with you, and activate on what you're saying, you have two choices. You can list them in a linear format or put them creatively into a narrative format, and the brain actually acts differently and you become more memorable if you put it into a story. So science proves that this works.
All right. I have to bait the question here for a moment, Justin, because I love neuroscience. John Hoffman, who I've done a series with Deepak Chopra, was my favorite professor at UC Irvine, who I ate up everything he did. And I don't know the answer, and I don't know if you do. I was under the impression, having studied human beings myself, having a background in psychology for the past 15, 20, 30 years, as long as I've been alive, I've noticed that different people's brains respond differently. Like, for example, if I have somebody who maybe is more linear versus somebody who is more creative, is the way I tell the story to them, for example, including maybe more facts and keeping it more abbreviated, going to be more impactful for a person A, let's say it's somebody interviewing you, versus somebody who's more creative and is going to want more finessed detail and nuance? Did you notice anything with that?
Well, at the basis of it all, it has to be an engaging story. So it has to work there. So it has to tug at your heartstrings and engage you in a way that a linear story wouldn't. And it doesn't obviously work the same forever. As we like to say, it won't turn every sinner into a saint. But what it has proven, and you can watch it, he puts a smartwatch on you and you do these tests, is the oxytocin gets released and the brain actually spikes at these specific key moments that you want it to. And in results, the brain actually says that you become more memorable. So yes, when you start to get into, that's the high 30,000 level. When you start getting into the nitty-gritty of it all, yes. If you're going in for a very specific tech-oriented job, you've got to hit the points that they need to hear. Otherwise, it will just feel like you do not have the ability to do the job that you're being asked to do. Well, if you're going in to go tell a story and go work at DreamWorks, like, of course, just give me all the adjectives, give me all the emotion, and give me all the feels. So again, it goes back to what's before. What do you want them to know about you? What's the goal and the purpose of this? And you have to know your audience. That is, Jennifer, you hit an absolute thing. And we do this in Hollywood too, is do they want a comedy? Do they want a romance? Do they want a drama? You have to be able to tailor your story towards them.
So beautiful, Justin. Well, Brandon, I don't know if you have any other questions. I know Justin has graced us with his presence for this half hour here, and we're so grateful that you took time out of your busy schedule, Justin, to share this deep wisdom with us. I can see where this would be applicable for my life and for many people's lives out there, and I know I'll definitely be referring this episode out. Justin, did you have any closing thoughts or takeaways, or Brandon, did you have any closing questions that maybe we didn't think to ask Justin yet?
Yeah, it's just more around if someone's going in, you know, you talk a lot about having a point and an impact. If someone's going in, it's actually a better question for you, Justin, because I've known you a long time. If someone's struggling and they don't know what they want to do in this world, and they're, you know, even if they're 20, 30, 40, 50, what do you find is the best way to sort of discover your life's purpose or mission?
I mean, I think it becomes what excites you. Like, what would not feel like work? And I think what the biggest mistake people make is they think what can I do to get paid, as opposed to what can I do that would actually make me feel happy. And I think there's a lot of studies about happiness, and the better job will not make you happier. The nicer car won't make you happier. We've heard that, but science obviously proves it. So I think you got to dig deep and say, what do you love to do? And how can you then go find a way to make that a career and a job? And again, it goes back to what's the ending. We all need to know the ending. We need to know the impact we're going to make. We need to know the story we're going to go write. We need to understand how we're going to go tell it. But more importantly, we need to know and understand how it's going to affect us and what's going to make us the best person we can possibly be. And that's been part of the joy I've had with a lot of this. It's a lot of mixture of what I love, which is storytelling, as well as talking to people, coaching them, engaging with them, and pulling out what's best in them. I mean, that's what's so amazing when I send them through, like they have to email me and say, this is what I think I'm great at. And then you get the results back from everyone else. You start to go like, you don't realize how great you are at something else. And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, 9 people said this. And they're like, I thought I was terrible at that. I'm like, well, because we're our worst enemy, right? Don't be the first person to say no, right? That's one of my favorite quotes. But we're too often the first person to say no to us. Let others tell us no. And then we'll fight through that. And so it's, you know, that's been one of the most amazing parts about this new journey and starting this new company while still writing is being able to really help people find their happiness.
Boom. Yeah. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Go ahead. I insist. Go right ahead, my friend.
Mine was boom. I like that. And now it's your turn, buddy.
No, you just inspired me, Justin. I think we're going to have my friend Eleonora Solomon on the show. She has a new book out that she left her job at the UN to go dance around Latin America, because all of a sudden one day she was sitting on a beach and somebody said, well, if you could do anything, what would you do? And she said, I'd go dance around Latin America and learn to dance. And they're like, okay. And so she quit her job at the UN. Like, who would do that, you know, to go do that? And I just love these stories, though, because for anybody out there, if you're sitting at home and just maybe you're not feeling your purpose is being fulfilled, I know I have days like that, too. And I ask you to kind of listen for what Justin was saying, listen to what Brandon's sharing, listen for the nuances of what matters to you. There's a quote by Howard Thurman, I believe, who says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go and do that, because what this world needs is people who have come alive. And so I think that's what you've inspired each and every one of us to do today, Justin. And I'm so deeply grateful for your time. And if people want to follow your work or find out about these incredible classes that you're offering, where would they go to do so?
You can find me on LinkedIn, or you can email me at Justin@yourstoryrules, Y-O-U-R, story, S-T-R-Y, rules, R-U-L-E-S, .com. And I'm happy to talk to anybody about storytelling.
Yeah, follow Justin, everyone, if you're interested. He is a master storyteller. He's an incredible this is an underrated characteristic, but cheerleader, hype guy, whatever you want to call him. I have visual memories of moving to Los Angeles and being cheered on by Justin and Jennifer. So this is a really, this is my J&J shot that works 100% of the time. Sorry, Jane Johnson and Johnson. But in this case, for Brandon, this shot is flawless because these are two people who have seen me, lifted me up, and especially at that pivot point when I was trying to find my passion and move forward. And if you're lucky enough to have two friends and thought leaders like Justin Sternberg or Jennifer Hill, you count yourself blessed. But if you're smart enough to listen to them, your life will change. And so often those are the people who see you and help you craft your story, who help you tell your story and don't let you live small. So the great storytellers in the world, Justin's one, like Justin is probably elite, one of the greatest you'll ever meet. I'll never forget, he set me up with one of his agents at the time. And this first thing was anything for him. And he's just that, he's got that kind of quality where if he does for you, you'll do anything for him. Jennifer has that. Be that type of person. Be the type of person where if you do for someone, they will say to anyone else, if this is a friend of yours, I'll do anything. So Justin, you know, I'll do anything for you or any of your friends. Jay Hill is saying, but Justin, thanks for being one of the great storytellers in the world. We need it more than ever.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Justin. We deeply appreciate you. And thank you so much for whenever, wherever you're tuning in from. We're so grateful that, you know what, listening is just as important as storytelling. If there was no one out there to listen, then the stories wouldn't matter. So thank you for lending your listening to us today. And if you enjoyed what you heard or you want to listen to it again, you can go to iTunes under Get Yourself the Job, or you can also go to LA Talk Radio's website. Additionally, you can find us on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. We're on YouTube under Get Yourself the Job, or our Facebook page. And, you know, we're here for you. So we'd love to hear from you. We love to read your comments, your ratings, your feedback. That all helps us to grow and to provide better stories, better information, and more value to help you connect to what is your purpose and how can you live that.
Yeah. And Jennifer, I like to say something if anyone's, you know, for those who are listening and stayed with us past our credits, if you will. If you want to email us at getyourselfthejob@gmail.com, right? I got that right. Do it and tell us your stories. We'll share them on the air. If you have a story you want to share that you think would inspire someone, please share them. So many people are that great resignation that we're going through. Share those stories with us. We ask, or again, LinkedIn's great for me, or email, websites or whatever. Reach out to us and tell us your stories. We may even want to have you on air to share it. But if, even if you email, we'll share it. We just want to hear your story, even if it's painful. But rarely it is the four beats. Sometimes it's that moment where you're most stuck. That's the part of the hero's journey that's the most exciting. So please share.
I love that, Brandon. That is one of the best ideas that you ever had. So again, get yourself at the job at gmail.com. You have a lot of good ideas.
That's at the bar low.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And it makes me think, I'll leave everybody with some listening homework. There's a song out there that my sister introduced me to, but I think it's Andy Grammer saying, "I wish you pain." And, you know, it doesn't make sense, but here Andy wrote this, I believe, for one of his children, saying, "I wish that your heart breaks. I wish that people don't keep their promises to you." And you might say, why would you wish that? But just like Brandon said, you know, and as Justin shared today, sometimes it's the greatest struggles that are the things that inspire and allow us to become the best versions of ourselves. So share your stories. We would love to hear them. We'd love to, who knows? Yeah, you might even wind up on the show with us. So we'd love that. And again, it's been a pleasure having you here. I am Jennifer Cahill, and you have been here with my dear friend, confidant, one of the most amazing human beings on the planet, Brandon Maslin. And we're so grateful that you joined us today.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.